You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Understanding Healing, Meditative Reflections on Deepening Medicine Through Spiritual Science, Collected Works, Volume 316. This is Lecture 12, given in Dornach on the 24th of April, 1924. My dear friends, I thought that we would continue with what we started by supplementing some of the things I talked about yesterday from another angle. Perhaps the questions which you asked and which Dr. Wegman discussed with me can be formulated appropriately in that way. You see, you grow into the medical, the healthcare profession, through your general human destiny. You find a particular stream in the healthcare profession today, and you grow into it, such that you rightly feel an inner opposition to it in your mind. Now, you have to consider that there are often objective reasons for that, and they will become clear to you the more you understand that the medical stream today is, in a sense, really a foreign body in many things which live in European, in Western civilization. We can only truly understand this when we know that our science and many things which have come about in recent spiritual development have arisen because key individuals in the progress of medicine and science were reincarnated from Arabic and Islamic culture. These matters have recently been addressed a lot here at the Goetheanum and are also connected in other respects with what is currently underway in the anthroposophical movement. But they are certainly also of great relevance for physicians. I have already mentioned in various places how we must look at those spiritual centers which flourished in the same period in which spiritual life prevailed in a primitive way, we might say, in Europe under Charlemagne. At the same time, a spiritual culture flourished in the East, which was held together by Harun al-Rashid. He had many of the wise men of the time, who also included many physicians, at his court. And you will have noticed that in explaining these things, we are touching on a time in which Christianity had been at work for hundreds of years. Now, Christianity itself entered the world as something that can only be understood slowly and gradually. And for an external view, not for an inward one, it is very strange how the profound aspects of Christianity have not actually been penetrated by people so far. Christianity entered the world as an objective fact, and human capacities, the capacities of comprehension, were not strong enough to develop what actually lies in Christianity in all directions. Hence, its objective progress is such that Christianity lives everywhere in the subconscious, but human beings have completely ruined this Christianity in the last 300 or 400 years. Human beings ruined Christianity through what they know, what is seated in the intellect, the consciousness. Furthermore, we now have the dreadfully amateurish institutions which the universities have been turned into in recent times. In earlier periods, there were traditionally four faculties: philosophy, theology, jurisprudence, and medicine. What has been added since then has really only happened on the basis of the most outward, murky understanding. Because political faculties, economic faculties were created out of a thinking which no longer had any idea of what we are dealing with. The thing which has failed to be understood, an understanding of which has been completely obscured, is that Christ first sent out four figures to proclaim Christianity to the world: the theologian, Matthew, the jurist, Mark, the physician, Luke, and the philosopher, John. In this context, which is a very profound one, is rooted what will have to develop in the future. These things only exist in embryonic form. They still have to grow and bear fruit. What is deeply rooted in the spiritual life is that the Gospels cannot agree in their wording, because the one is written from the perspective of the theologian, the next from the perspective of the philosopher, the third one from the perspective of the jurist, and the fourth from the perspective of the physician. That is something which must be understood. And because the Gospel of Luke has, in reality, not in any way been taken as an inner instruction with regard to the will to heal, the matter has not been understood. It has come about that the Christian will to heal does not really live in our way of thinking today, but has immersed itself in spiritual culture through an Arabism which has taken hold of Christianity like a vice. It is very interesting, isn't it? Christianity, which arose in Asia, makes its way to Europe and spreads in Europe. But now look at the court of Harun al-Rashid, where the old medicine lived. There the ancient mystery knowledge still lived in the understanding of the human being. The tradition still existed there. Now, two people lived at that time, Harun al-Rashid himself, who organized the whole thing, this giant cultural academy which grew under his influence. And then there was someone else who in previous times had been an initiate. At that time, the initiation was not revealed. Harun al-Rashid returned as Sir Francis Bacon. He renewed the scientific thinking in the West with a way of thinking that was rooted in Arabism. The soul took this path during the time between death and a new birth. Rudolf Steiner draws, see plate 14. If you studied Bacon, you would see how much entered medicine by that route in particular. You would be astonished. On the other hand, the second person, the initiate, reincarnated in the soul of John Amos Comenius. We see how a life striving for the spirit was present in Comenius, but he did everything in accordance with intellectual ideas. We can also see how another personality, who did not live at the same time as Harun al-Rashid, but played a role in the Battle of Jerez, returned as Darwin. Thus all the people active in science, and particularly in medicine, are reincarnations of something which came to Europe in ancient ideas through the grip in which Arabism held Christianity, but with the exclusion of Christianity, not in the further development of Christianity, but with the exclusion of Christianity. And so medicine, in particular, is something which has mostly entered this way, whereas the impulse which is contained in the Gospel of Luke with regard to medicine is still such that we have to say that it still needs to be accepted. To achieve this, you have to be able to take the kind of things I discussed yesterday about the cosmic understanding of the human being, an understanding of the human being coming from the cosmos, with the greatest possible seriousness. Then you will feel yourself placed in the right way in the tasks which arise for you through your karma. Because, you see, the thing is this. Let us look at the kind of medicine that lived at the court of Harun al-Rashid. It certainly contained, on the one hand, the positive aspect of the Hippocratic way of thinking. Those who might have read the first medical course which I gave here will have seen that I immediately discussed there the principle that Hippocrates was the last one to heal on the basis of the ancient mystery medicine. Now, when Hippocratic medicine was transplanted to Asia, a strong stream of Mongolian ways of healing, which came from Northeast Asia, entered it. Much flowed into it against which not only the thinking had to rebel in Europe, but also the inner organization of human beings themselves had to rebel. For the inner human organization is not suited to what entered medical thinking there as Mongolian and Tartar influences. That can become clear if we come to an original cosmic way of thinking about the human being. Now you will recall, on the one hand, the reflections on development which you can find in the outline of my title Occult Science, in which the developmental stream is taken through the Saturn, Sun, and Moon development, then followed by Earth development. Human beings have actually gone through all these developmental stages, and you will have been able to see from what we have said in these days that human beings initially contain the hereditary stream, which acts in the model, and the individual stream, which comes from previous lives on earth. The things which are at work in heredity go back to earlier times, but have aramonically been left behind, have withered. So that is what lies in heredity. That is basically what today's official medicine works with alone, and nowhere does it take account of the other side, which is developed in the second phase of life between the change of teeth and puberty, the stage in human life which even statistically can be interpreted as the most healthy one, because that is when human beings are least able to fall ill. The ability to fall ill is deactivated. It is tempting to say that today's medicine has no inclination whatsoever to concern itself with health, but likes to rummage around in illness. That is to put it in extreme terms, but it is true. But to combine oneself with health, it is necessary that we truly bring our understanding of the whole cosmos in the human being to the stage of also seeing the cosmos in the human being. Read that again. But to combine oneself with health, it is necessary that we truly bring our understanding of the whole cosmos in the human being to the stage of also seeing the cosmos in the human being. For that, we need the details which can truly facilitate such a perception of the cosmic development in the human being. After all, human beings still contain the old Saturn development, the old Sun development, and the old Moon development. And only when we have understood these three developments preceding Earth development, only then can we understand what we are looking at in the earthly human being. We have so many scientific disciplines today, but we do not have a real Saturn science, a real Sun science, a real Moon science, because in the general life of nature, we can no longer recall what was contained in the instinctive original wisdom. So we can no longer come close to what lived in Hippocrates in the strongest way, because it has become an empty phrase that has to be brought back to life. So you will have an important saying sounding across from ancient times, but you will not generally pay attention to this ancient saying, and least of all pay attention to the wonderful guidance it can give to medicine. It is as follows. The divine cosmic powers have ordered life by measurement, number, and weight. You can find that as a Bible saying. But who today pays attention to such words other than as a general phrase? As if there had once been an ancient cosmic builder who arranged things by measurement, number, and weight. But for the physician, it is a matter of really finding measurement, number, and weight in the human being. Let us look at the nature of Saturn. You see, human beings have the Saturn development within them. But we will not, of course, find this Saturn development in human beings as they actually exist today, because they combine all the developmental stages synthetically. They are combined so that the individual ones disappear in the combination, the harmony. But illness calls forth the one or other phenomenon in its particular form. And now the following has to occur, that what I have set out in occult science is truly grasped, not with reason alone, but is grasped in the way as it is described there. That one feels in everything how during Saturn development a cosmic warmth worked throughout. If we study Saturn development, we have to refer back to the warmth element. We have to look toward the warmth element. Saturn acts in human beings, and what has been described about Saturn development acts in human beings, but it does not come to appearance in human beings on Earth if they contain all these things in harmony within one another. But it acts when a person is ill. Then these things separate, which are otherwise harmoniously integrated. Then the Saturn element acts on its own in fever. We will only get a science of fever if we make it cosmic, if we are willing to go into the way that Saturn acts in human beings. So we really have to understand how the cosmic influences are at work in the phenomenon of fever through the Saturn forces, which we have spiritually found soaked into the Earth. If we find the Saturn forces everywhere on the Earth's surface, distributed most strongly in the lead forces and otherwise everywhere else, we will obtain an inner insight into fever. And we must see therein those things in accordance with which the divine spiritual cosmic order organizes the world through measurement. The measurement of fever expresses the measurement which lives in the cosmic order when warmth streams into the cosmic order, the measurement which merges and harmonizes with the other aspects. But we have to see measurement, above all, in the phenomena of fever. Hence, we have to let the following strongly work on us. See Plate 14, quote, "Feel in fever's measurement Saturn's spiritual gift," close quote. It is actually the human spirit which appears in fever, which is otherwise always submerged in the other elements. The human spirit asserts itself in fever as it becomes one-sided. The oldest component of human nature comes to appearance in fever at the surface of existence. Now, you see, Saturn development is followed by Sun development. There, the pure warmth element is densified into air on the one hand and diluted into light on the other. Light and air interact. They belong together. We take in the rhythm of air in breathing, light we take in. And light in an occult sense is not just what acts in the eye, E-Y-E, but light is a general expression for what acts through the sun. It is merely that the eye is the best representative for what acts through the sun. In the Middle Ages, the things which act through light were described as spiritual tincture. Now, when we come to sun development, we also have sun development in human beings today, and we experience it directly as something which does not act on earth, but which is the after effect of the action of the old sun when we place our fingers on a person's pulse and feel it in the right way. The pulse rate expresses the old sun development in us. And so we have, as a second thing, quote, "Feel in the pulse beat's number the sun's soul power," close quote. It is not a matter of indifference, dear friends, whether or not we do the right thing in this regard. We can take such matters seriously or not, but it makes a tremendous difference if, as you read the thermometer with devotion, you truly reflect on the picture which evolution presents at the time of Saturn. This is something that just has to be learned through inner practice. Since everything is subject to its streaming warmth, the whole world will appear to you as a spiritual gift in which love streams into each individual thing through that warmth. And if you recognize in this mood of religious devotion how love streams into the world with the assistance of warmth through the nature of Saturn, if you recognize in such thankful devotion to warming, loving, cosmic creation, if you recognize in the moment when you check the temperature from out of this mood what is at work, then you will receive an intuition about what you should do. Equally, we should not check someone's pulse in the workman butcher-like way that is often done, but with the pulse we should be able to immerse ourselves in what comes from the sun as cosmic rhythm. When feeling a pulse, we should be able to feel the immersion of the human being in the brightness which spreads air and light and illuminates the world. Then it is again the case that the whole human being is engaged in the will to heal. The will to heal cannot be brought about through an inner commandment, but it can only be achieved if the soul's attitude is one of devotion in the world. and if you then proceed to check the other symptoms, you will look at the extent to which the things which are at work in human beings do not take human form, but their own form. Take the different types of diabetes, for example. What are they based on? On the fact that sugar has not been penetrated fully by human nature, as happens in the harmonized human being, so that the latter does not act through his or her own power. The human being becomes too weak to penetrate sugar fully right down into the very atoms. The human eye organization follows the sugar forces, the extra-human forces. Look at all the forces at work in the human being in diabetes mellitus, which appear in the residues of urine, which are deposited in the body in migraine and other conditions. If you look at all the things which appear in the body as substances which follow their own laws and not the laws of the human being, you can pose two questions. First, how is it possible at all that there can be a tendency in human nature to allow substances to work independently within the human being? If that were not the case, moon evolution could never have intervened. It intervenes precisely when the substances in human beings want to follow their own path. Then the moon forces take hold of the forces of these substances, and in their capacity as moon forces bring about the human form. Everything that appears in human beings as form is penetrated by the moon forces. Just as Saturn warms us through and the sun penetrates us with rhythm, the moon gives form to human beings. So you see, that is what the whole human being is like. Remember what I have always emphasized. Our brain does not have its own weight. If we take it out, it weighs about 1,500 grams, but in the body it only weighs about 20 grams, because according to the Archimedes principle, every body loses as much in weight as the weight of the water it displaces. Now, because it floats in the cerebrospinal fluid, the brain displaces a part of the fluid, giving it buoyancy, so that the downward pressure is only about 20 grams of weight. That is how it is with everything. The forces have to be there in the cosmos to take the weight off human beings to the degree necessary for the substances they have within themselves. Weight has to be regulated, and the third element lies in the weight of our own substances and their regulation through the cosmos. So, whether you are investigating whether a substance at work in the metabolism occurs under its own weight, or whether it forms part of the weight of the cosmos, you are investigating the order of the divine spiritual by weight, which gives you the third element. Quote, feel in substance's weight the moon's forming power. Close quote. That is the mood which should fill us once again. We should be able to feel when we talk about rheumatism, gout, obstipation, about diabetes, about migraine, about all the conditions which are somehow connected with such deposits, which make the separate weights of the substances appear. We should experience how something occurs in our feeling, which can be expressed in the words, earthly weight has taken hold of human beings. A lot is contained in such words. Imbue your examinations with such feelings. Just think of the abstract, butcher-like way these examinations are carried out today, with what little thought. Then you will obtain what is missing today, what has been killed off today in Arabism and Islam, despite all the ancient wisdom, ancient virtues, ancient skills, which have been so wonderfully conserved. Killed off because the trinity of moon, sun, and Saturn appeared hidden, masked as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because this trinity disappeared, and because Arabism and Islam simply rejected all those things with the words, I am referring to the words which came before, which Muhammad did not speak, but which the angel spoke who inspired him, who was not exactly an admirable angel despite being very wise. Trinity? What Trinity? There is only one God whom Muhammad should proclaim. That is what we referred to the disappearance of all differentiation in the world. In that way, the things which have actually to be known about have been obscured, and our medicine has become an Arabic and Islamic one. European humanity had become too weak to find the right thing. We have to know about these things today, otherwise humanity on earth will perish. So that you must tell yourselves, quote, feel in fever's measurement Saturn's spiritual gift. Feel in the pulse beat's number the sun's soul power. Feel in substance's weight the moon's forming power. Then you will also see in your will to heal what requires healing in earthly human beings. Close quote. You see, if we look at the world in this way, we have to grasp these things truly with our mind. Then we will develop a sense that there is a tendency in the course of a person's life on earth for the individuality which comes across from previous earth lives to take hold of what exists like a model from the hereditary stream. I have already mentioned the struggle between what is formed in accordance with the model as the second human being on the one hand and the first model-like human being on the other. If we know that we have a human being before us who is working his or her way to the surface, then we know that something is at work on this human being which has come from earlier incarnations. And it is truly the case that the person who penetrates these things with his or her heart and soul has the best opportunity to perceive in the sick person what has come across from earlier incarnations, or at least to have an inkling of it. Because what is it that underlies what comes to expression in illness? In healthy people, it is like this. We have the head organization, which in its basic form is even externally separated from the remaining organization. The head is a bony casing in which the brain is enclosed. The continuation of the head is also enclosed in bones. It exists by itself, and then the rest of what belongs to the human being is connected to it. But there is also something in the finer organization of the human being which separates these two sections from one another. You see, this cannot be shown so easily through outer anatomy and outer physiology, but an enormous amount can be observed in what exists, for example, in the transformation of food substances, so that these nutritional substances, as they are in their inner structure, do not enter the head organization, or indeed the nervous organization. There is a sharply delineated barrier which cannot be crossed. Which must not be crossed by whom? Well, you see, the power from previous lives on earth, which has been preserved through the period between death and a new birth, works most strongly in the head organization from the start of the human being's development on earth. What is at work as the child's power of individuality comes from the head. But it is not allowed down into the remaining physical organization unscreened. There must be a screen, an intermediate layer. It is not externally visible, but it is there in the organization. Nothing goes down unscreened. The lung as an organ or the liver as an organ must not be directly taken hold of by what has come across as forces from earlier incarnations. They cannot cope with it. And something quite terrible happens in human beings when the power from earlier lives on earth comes into contact with, say, the liver unscreened. In the time between death and a new birth, the human individuality transforms the forces which lie in the lungs and liver, in the limb and metabolic system, partly also in the rhythmical system, into head organization. Then the limb and metabolic organization must be attached again from the outside. The human individuality, which is eternal, may only enter it again once the human being has passed through the portal of death, when the physical and material part falls away, and only the forces of lung and liver have passed through the portal of death. Thus harm arises in human beings during their life on earth, if the individuality enters certain organs which it should not. That is why, on the basis of inner devotion, we say with regard to certain medical conditions, oh, here the individuality from the previous life on earth is acting on the organ which now should only be influenced by this earth life, because there is no separation. That is why you see the action of the individuality from a previous earth life in sick people. This individuality, which should exist only in the moral sphere, the sphere of destiny, which should stop at what human beings do and learn, and which should not touch the organization in the mainly earthly part of the human being, works partly in the metabolic and limb system, partly in the rhythmical system, partly in the nervous and sensory system, because the barrier has become damaged. You see, a way of approaching human beings arises when we know that the individuality of the human being is at work in the diseased lung. When I look at someone with pulmonary consumption, I feel a very concrete empathy, because our time is so materialistic and distracts the human being in the external world from how his or her karma should be lived out through destiny, pushes him or her morally back into the physical body because of our whole unspiritual life. Instead of passing over into the moral sphere, the individuality rejects our time. It becomes organic, takes hold of the organs, takes hold above all of the lung, which is the inward-facing aspect of the metabolic and limb system, which in turn faces outward. The individuality, intervening from earlier incarnations, takes hold directly of the body. These things are not of such importance because we can theorize about them, but because we can put ourselves in that position with our whole frame of mind. And then the will to heal arises, which is in turn connected, in the right way, with a person's need for healing. In our present materialistic culture, there is actually an exceptionally sharp division between the healing person and the person seeking healing. They cannot connect because more is needed to create a connection, because we have to have a feeling for what lives in human beings as the eternal part. And on the basis of such a feeling, the right relationship develops between the healer and the person seeking healing, and then we can develop a sense of how we must truly individualize, because each person has his or her own karma. We must individualize in the healing process. These are the things, you see, which we should let act on our mind. These things become esoteric when we let them act on our mind, and something like the Gospel of Luke contains all of the mood we require to progress in this feeling. That is why it is the case that these things have come about objectively. Four faculties have come about: a Luke faculty, a Matthew faculty, a Mark faculty, and a John faculty. But we see nothing of that today, because Arabism lives particularly in medicine. The permeation with Christianity will take place when we grasp things in such a way that we return to the cosmic. Then you also have to be conscious of your cosmic position as physicians. You will have seen from all this the extent to which the regulating forces of the moon affect the human form. If the moon's regulating forces in the human form are too irregular in their action, then we have to direct our mind to that. Then we have to be clear that we heal by removing the bit of irregularity which lives in the form. And that happens when we treat the sick person in such a way that cosmic awareness is also involved. But then, you see, something else must become clear. We have to gain a perspective. You must look at something from the outside. After all, you cannot look at the eye, EYE, from the outside. Those things which allow us to look at everything from the outside, which are at work there, are the things which, on the other hand, give us clear concepts about everything, and do not immediately involve abstraction in these clear concepts, but let our heart think along. We must not become confused in our concepts, but neither must we exclude the heart from our abstract thinking. We must be human beings by being whole human beings, by the heart always thinking along. Hence we must endeavor not just to think our way into the world, to think our way abstractly into it, which basically all thinking does today. We must be clear that we have to immerse ourselves with our thinking, that the heart has to be involved in everything. We must also know what warmly coils itself around the thoughts. We have to learn to handle Mercury's staff again, and we cannot do it in any other way, see plate 15, than to move from the moon to Mercury. That is what I meant with regard to general culture in the lectures which also dealt with Raphael, because Raphael is indeed the Christian Mercury. If you imbue yourself with such an awareness, you will develop the right feelings for the things which you have to work for if you want to enter medicine as young people today. Everywhere in the world, the opposite of what should be happening in substance is welling up, and particularly with regard to medicine, something terrible has developed in recent times. That is, please forgive me for descending to something mundane, but it shows how the opposite acts. That is the medical health insurance system. It has cut out the physician, primarily. In Germany, there is an expression which testifies to the exclusion of the human element in the physician, which testifies to the view that abstraction is at work here, and not the human being. In reality, it is the physician who heals, and not medical science. But people think that medical science is something that floats about independently of the person. The human being is left out of consideration. It is a downright slap in the face for karma. Karma works in such a way that it does not blindly link up one person with another, but in fact a karmic element comes to expression in the free choice of physician, where that is possible. But the purely Ahrimanic setup of health insurance panel doctors leaves karma completely out of the picture, and human beings are exposed to the Ahrimanic powers which do nothing but fight karma. When we meet again, I will tell you how the Ahrimanic powers are intent on killing human karma so that they can achieve their goal. But that is inherent in the health insurance system and the institution of not being free to choose one's physician. And it merely indicates, does it not, what comes to expression in language, in the choice of the term, quote, health care industry, close quote. I believe it is even used in the law on health insurance companies. That is symptomatic of the whole outlook, which is inherent in the health insurance system, and the view of the medical system as a health care industry. In a sign of the times, it is a symptom of the emergence of the cultural disease, which also appears in many other guises today, and which attests to the way in which physicians in particular must help to heal these cultural diseases. But if a physician is put in a position in which he or she is himself or herself subjected to this cultural disease in the severest way, the physician is completely paralyzed. And just think that this is the most terrible fact represented in the institution of the health insurance funds. They also have their good sides, of course, in the way that the things which emerge in the world and aim to tempt and mislead people appear to be nice and shiny and not something that we necessarily dislike. The devil always appears in the guise of an angel. Anyone who sees the devil in the shape of the devil in their vision can be sure that it is not the devil, because the latter appears in the shape of an angel. If physicians are subject to the most severe impulse of a cultural disease, then our culture is basically on the way to being sick. That is why it is necessary for you to take note of your karma, and where it places you in order to work, not just in the medical field, but also on the sick nature of the social organism. So please formulate your questions with that in mind. We will meet once more tomorrow. I have also heard that you have a certain desire for an explanation as to how you can integrate into the general youth movement. We will be able to supplement a number of the things which I spoke about in particular today. But I did not want to say what I said today because I thought that it might be necessary for you to know and digest. Quote, feel in fever's measurement Saturn's spiritual gift. Feel in the pulse beat's number the sun's soul power. Feel in substance's weight the moon's forming power. Then you will also see in your will to heal what requires healing in earthly human beings. The end of Lecture 12.